The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare, called Your Best Healthcare Now. It's available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can, and this is one of those when he cans. We have a topic that's, shall we say, kindly timely. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. And you?
I won't complain.
Okay. Well, that's good.
But I'm hearing a lot. Today. Yeah. Okay. You complain because I'm hearing a lot about this, and I need help. We need help.
I'm gonna complain, and then I hope clarify. So here's the bottom line: our healthcare system is a mess, and really, it's got to go. It's got to be reformed. It's dysfunctional. It's unsustainable. We pay more than double for medical care and drugs than other developed countries, and we're dying younger. So we don't even get the good outcomes for the amount of money we're spending, which is ridiculous. It's no wonder everyone is talking about Medicare for all. What a buzzword. More than 100 Democratic members of Congress are co-sponsoring a new Medicare for all plan that would, now get this, provide every American with complete medical, dental, vision, and long-term care. And that's only 2 years after this thing would pass, with no premiums, no copays, and no deductibles. That's even more generous than the plan that was promoted by presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders. And he's still out there talking about his idea. Doesn't even go as far as that version of Medicare for All. His plan is endorsed by at least four other Democratic candidates for president: Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, and Kirsten Gillibrand. But the fact is, Medicare for All is what I said. It's a buzzword at this point. It's only one of about 10 ideas down in Washington, D.C. to overhaul our healthcare system. Now, Republicans and Democrat lawmakers, they do agree that something should be done. It should be done relatively quickly, but there is no consensus about what path to follow. Worse, there's not even agreement about the definitions of the key concepts. So that's what we're going to talk about today, Jill. I'm going to try to outline the big ideas. I'll tell you who supports them, who hates them, and when they hate them, they really hate them, and what chance each one has to actually be enacted. At the least, and here's what we're trying to do today. I'd like to help the listeners decide which ideas make sense to them, including maybe one or two that they might want to support with your vote or your voice. So, okay, Jill, we're going to start at square one. Universal coverage. What is universal coverage? Democrats say healthcare is a basic human right. Therefore, government should provide affordable healthcare for everyone with generous tax-funded subsidies wherever needed. Republicans have a completely different definition of universal coverage. They say, oh, that means government should provide access to everyone to get health care. So, yeah, like we do with our emergency room services for the poor. They also love self-funded health savings accounts for workers, right? That's access to health care. Fact is, by the way, with those health savings accounts, people who fund their own health care that way tend not to spend the money on preventive care and therefore get sick when they should not. So it's not a great idea, actually. But Republicans insist beyond that this country can't afford to do anything more than provide access. I stand with every other developed country. Health care is a basic human right, and this country can afford it. We spend 18% of GDP now on health care, versus about 11% in Europe. So I got an idea. Let's spend less, a lot smarter. Okay, Jill, here's the next one. What is socialized medicine? You hear that term all the time. Back to the Reagan era, socialized medicine. Republicans throw it around as a term that they use to define every government health plan. So actually, socialized medicine is when the government owns the hospitals and employs the doctors. Great Britain's National Health Service, that's an example of socialized medicine. So is our VA system. We've got VA hospitals and VA doctors who work for the government. But it's not Medicare. Medicare is a single-payer government health insurance plan, right? It's funded by taxpayers. The government pays the bills, but they don't own the hospitals or own the doctors. Medicare has the power to set relatively low fees for the disabled and people over 45. And they set those fees for our public and private hospitals and for roughly 900,000 participating fee-for-service doctors. But those doctors don't work for the government. They just get paid by the government. And Medicare has limited power, frankly, because the Republicans really insist that Medicare cannot negotiate lower drug prices. That's illegal, and the government does not do it. So that gets us to the next contrast, which is what's the difference between Medicare and Medicare for All? But at this point, Jill, is what I've said so far clear?
Yes, but yes, everything that you said is very clear. That's not the issue. The issue is that people are throwing around, we sort of graduated from universal health care. And now little brains don't forget, so now it's Medicare for All.
Right.
And so where we need to get is, all right, what is that? How is it feasible? Because we're taking a term, and the term is being split off. So
Right. So let's get deeper into Medicare. Let me get very deeper. That's exactly where I want to go. We're going to get deeper into Medicare for All. So we got to draw a distinction between Medicare, right, for the disabled people over 65, and Medicare for everyone, Medicare for All. There are several versions of Medicare for All out there, so I'm not going to confuse you with that. But basically, everyone would be required to enroll in an expanded version of Medicare. And they would include not just medical care and hospitalization, but dental, drugs, vision, maybe even long-term care. That sounds awfully good.
Which,
right?
We don't have at this current moment, just for regular Medicare. You have to get separate things for all of that, yes?
That's exactly right. So okay. It would all be folded up. Medicare Advantage gives you an opportunity to bundle stuff. But under this version, you'd get the whole array of medical services and drugs and vision and maybe even long-term health care. That's long-term nursing care. But that's it's like free health care, right? But free health care has three major problems. First of all, it's not really free.
Someone has to pay for it.
Somebody's got to pay for it, and that's you and me. Okay. It's very disruptive, and it'll kill roughly 500,000 jobs. So first off, taxpayers would have to pay for all that health care with the biggest tax hike since World War II. That's a showstopper. People are not going to like that idea. Bernie Sanders' plan, by the way, by one estimate, could double your income tax. If I'm running against that idea, that's a powerful argument. Medicare for All also would replace health insurance plans at work. You know, and half the country gets their health plans at work. And despite the insecurity of losing your coverage, if you lose your job, most people like their company plans. And Medicare for All would wipe out the health insurance industry. Now, some people would say, good, they should get out of the healthcare business. They're just in it for profit. But poof, there goes 500,000 jobs. Kamala Harris just got smacked around in the press for saying that she'd eliminate the health insurance industry. Who needs them? But boy, she got creamed in the press and she quickly backed down. So, by the way, both Vermont and California looked very hard at creating single-payer health insurance for all of their citizens in their states. And they both of those states walked away from it because it would double the state budgets. So for all those reasons, I don't see Medicare for All actually going anywhere anytime that I can see, despite all that you hear about it and all that you're going to hear about it. So now, do you grasp Medicare for All?
Totally.
Its promise and its problems.
Got it. So now, what can we? So what is the new term this is me, that we're going to have to learn that actually could work.
Well, it's a compromise. That's I know that's kind of a dirty word in Washington, D.C. these days, but it's a compromise.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's a compromise. So it brings us to ideas that it has various names, okay? Medicare for more, Medicare for most, Medicare for people at 50. It's Medicare. Bottom line for me is Medicare for more people. It's basically people would be allowed to buy into Medicare or Medicaid. They wouldn't have to, but they would be allowed to do it. And now you can't, obviously. You need to qualify. Some versions allow any individual to buy in, everyone that would be allowed. Some limit it by age. You say, okay, Medicare, this is a Debbie Stabenauer's idea out of Michigan. She would allow people at age 50 and above, 50 to 64, to buy into Medicare. Some even say, and this is very promising, some even say employers can enroll their workers in Medicare or Medicaid. So instead of providing a private insurance plan or a self-funded insurance plan, they would just say, okay, now we're going to enroll you now in Medicaid or Medicare, and you're covered, and that insurance doesn't go away if you lose your job.
Quick interjection, and that is,
sure,
clarify Medicare, the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, please.
Well, Medicaid is for the poor, and they're essentially health maintenance organizations, and you need to be relatively poor to qualify for them. And Medicare is available for the disabled and anyone over 65, and it does not depend on how much income you
have. It's not income related. Okay, so
It's not income related. Right. Medicaid is income related. Medicare
it's a certain
based
level
on age and disability.
All right, yeah. So a certain level below which is Medicaid. And
so Medicare for more, you know, just says, hey, you're allowed to buy in. Now, moderate Democrats running for president, Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, and Sherrod Brown from Ohio, they oppose Medicare for all. They say it's too expensive, it's too expansive, but they favor the buy-in approach. All those other candidates I mentioned earlier also say, okay, you know, if it has to be buying in, that's okay with us too. So the buy-in plans are sometimes called, another buzzword, guys, a public option. Now, what does that really mean? It means the public gets the option to pick a government-run Medicare or Medicaid plan over a private health insurance plan. So that bites into the profits of private health insurance and that industry. So you know who's going to not like this idea. The Republicans helped the health insurance donors that they prize by killing the public option during the Obama fight. It was a big debate about whether you should have public option or not. Republicans were dead set against it, and they killed it. So soon we're going to see, if you haven't already, everyone opposed to expanding low-fee Medicare and Medicaid, right? Less profits. You're going to see them come out swinging against these ideas of Medicare for all for sure and Medicare for more. That includes hospitals, doctors, big pharma. There is a chance for a compromise if there's enough pressure for Medicare for all. These forces may say, okay, well, Medicare for more, at least the public option will allow that. So, but here's where I stand. As long as the Republicans hold the Senate and the White House, I don't see any major reforms. I don't see anything sweeping. But if the Democrats get complete power in Washington, D.C. in 2020, then I think we'll have a public option early in 2021. And that would be perhaps for people over 50, or might even be for employers. I see major change if the Democrats take control of the Senate, the House, and the White House in 2020. Then we'll have some really serious legislation that can be enacted and signed by the president. Until then,
Until then,
educate yourself about the debate. You're going to hear a lot about it, and all the candidates are going to take stands on it. Some of the ideas, incremental ideas, will be a step forward. Some of the opposition will be grounded at least in some logic. But a lot of it's going to be sloganeering. Just be ready for that.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And of course, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now. It will help. All right, so that was perfect. I just need you to do one quick thing, and that is to say sure. Minnesota.
I'm sorry?
Minnesota, because Amy Klobuchar is from Minnesota, not Wisconsin.
All right, good.
All right.
I just say that one word?
Yep.
Okay. Minnesota. Minnesota. Minnesota.